Good evening. You're listening to Panhandle Community Radio, and it's time now for Know Your States, Know Your Community. I'm Jack Peterson. I'm here with Jim Healy, and each week for 25 weeks in a row, we're talking to representatives from each of our 50 states, two states every night, talking about what it's like to grow up there and, in part, what brings them here now to North Idaho. We turn now to the Granite State, the 41st most populous state, home to almost 1.5 million people, the ninth state to ratify the Constitution on June 21st, 1788. We're talking about New Hampshire with the word is probably a New Hampshireite named Karen Glazer. Is New Hampshireite what I would call you, Karen?
I think so. That sounds okay. About right.
Yeah, not New Hampshirean or New Hampshire. It's the only thing that makes sense to me.
Yeah, that sounds the best. Let's go with that.
Okay. Where within New Hampshire did you spend your time?
Berlin, New Hampshire, which is a small town in the far north.
Close to Canada?
It's about, almost equal laterally, latitude-wise, it's almost about the same as here. It's about an hour and a half from the Canadian border.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. And how large is the town that you were raised in?
At the time, it was probably close to 10,000.
Whoa.
It was, it was booming back then. It was a paper mill town. It's not anymore, so it's shrunk.
It's seen a decline in population.
It has, that closed. The mill closed years and years ago, and now I think the biggest employer is maybe a couple prisons, as far as I know.
Good business.
This came up. I can't remember where. I think it was in Massachusetts, but there's another town called Berlin. I know there's a new Berlin in Wisconsin, and all of these towns were originally called Berlin. And I would assume that this is another instance of it wasn't until World War I when, as a sort of a patriotic showing, they started pronouncing any town in the United States that's either called Berlin or New Berlin or whatever is now called Berlin, not Berlin. Anyway. So there you were.
So with a paper mill, does water run through it? Is it on a river or?
Yep, it was on the Androscoggin River. It runs right through town and beautiful.
Big river?
I'd say maybe Clark Fork size. So good size river. I think it runs, I don't know where the headwaters are, maybe in Maine. Mm-hmm. But it runs all the way through Maine, New Hampshire, maybe Vermont, too. I don't really know. But, it's a good-sized river, pretty wide in parts.
Was it fun to play around in? I mean, did the river become a place to play?
Not back then. We moved there right before the Clean Water Act, the Clean Air Act.
Okay.
So when I moved there, the mill was right on the river. Mm-hmm. And it dumped all its effluent into the river. And there were dumplings of stuff floating in the river. It was pretty toxic back then. I think it's been cleaned up a lot. So now I think you can, I don't know if people swim in it, but you can fish in it. You couldn't back then.
And what's the geography like around Berlin?
Mountainous, and the White Mountains are right there.
Oh.
Right there. Mount Washington, you could see Mount Washington from, the first house that we lived in, Mount Washington was like right in our front window.
Mm-hmm.
The whole Presidential Range was right there. So they're low, it's New England mountains, though, East Coast mountains, so they're rounded, but pretty high mountains.
And if I'm not mistaken, isn't the land wind record on Mount Washington, if I'm not mistaken?
It is. It is.
Okay.
It is. It's, like the windiest place on Earth or something.
Something like that. Well, wasn't much wind down in Berlin?
Not that I remember.
Okay.
No,
okay.
I mean, we probably had. I mean, as a teenager, I never really paid attention to weather. Too much.
Except
other
snow
going.
Days.
Snow days, yeah. Well, that was. Those were important. It was New Hampshire. You didn't really lose school too much for snow. It was just part of your everyday world.
Windiest place in the world is, or in the
Mount Washington.
Mount Washington, New Hampshire?
In the Presidential Range.
I had
range.
No idea.
I mean, you should fact check that. I'm not sure if it's really the windiest place in the world, but it got pretty windy on the top, for sure.
I do know that the Appalachian Trail passes through Mount Washington, and there's all sorts of warnings about when you head into that area hiking because of the winds.
It's the wind can, or the weather can change pretty quickly.
On a dime.
On Mount Washington.
On the afternoon of April 12th, 1934, the Mount Washington Observatory recorded a wind speed of 231 miles an hour at the summit.
Wow.
And that was the world record from 1934 until 1996. Still holds the record for the highest measured wind speed not associated with a tornado or tropical cyclone. So I guess if you count the, you know, an F5 tornado or something, maybe the wind is a little higher, but but otherwise it's as far as just a wind event, it's Mount Washington, New Hampshire. Wild. That's see, I had no idea what causes this erratic weather.
We need to interview a New Hampshireite
meteorologist.
Absolutely.
There was a road up to the top. You could drive to the top of Mount Washington. The big thing is the bumper sticker. This car climbed Mount Washington. It's a pretty intense road to get up there.
Absolutely. Now, what's the rest of the state look like? You're pretty close to Canada. What's it like heading south in New Hampshire?
Well, it's forested all over, and the mountains get smaller. I mean, they're still mountains, but they're not like mountains that, you know, not like West Coast mountains. You know, you didn't spend a lot of time down south. It definitely flattens out a little bit. There's a lot of lakes everywhere.
Okay, water everywhere.
Water everywhere, trees everywhere, green everywhere. Beautiful, pretty rural overall. Okay. I mean, there's some big cities, big-ish cities, Manchester, Concord.
What's the biggest city? What's the biggest city in New Hampshire?
I think it's Manchester.
Manchester,
Concord's the capital.
Right.
But I don't think it's the biggest.
I think you have that right. Yep. Okay. Concord is the capital, and Manchester looks like it is the biggest city with a population of about 115,000 people.
Okay. So, as a kid growing up, what did you do for fun in the summer, in the winter, growing up in Berlin?
In Berlin, summertime, there was rivers and swimming holes everywhere.
Okay.
So we spent a lot of time doing that.
How was the water? Chilly?
Cold.
Okay, cold.
Very cold. Very cold. Refreshing.
that's a kind way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just like going into Lake Pendere. It's refreshing.
Yeah, you never really got as warm as Lake Pendere does, even, you know, kind of snow melt all the way. Let's see. What did I do else in the summer? We spent a lot of time in the woods all the seasons. You know, there wasn't really much for teenagers to do it back then. You know, there wasn't a Y, there wasn't a teen center or anything, so we spent a lot of time in the woods. And I didn't do as much hiking there as I wish I had, because, you know, the Appalachian Trail, like you said, there's a whole trail system in the mountains there. And I did hike some. I hiked Tuckerman's, that kind of thing, like everybody did. But I wish I'd hiked more, because it was like a mecca for hiking. Winter time, I did a lot of cross-country skiing.
Any downhill?
I went downhill skiing a couple times because my friends were doing it, and it's like skiing. You know, it was icy. It was ice and fog the days that I went.
And of course,
it's like,
of course.
You know, this is not really my thing right here, right now. We did a lot of ice skating on the ponds.
Ooh.
And, you know, we'd hike through the woods to get to a pond, and we'd shovel it off, and we'd ice skate. And there wasn't, you know, it was always frozen. We never really worried about falling through because it was always cold then.
Is hockey big up there?
Hockey is huge. So we went to hockey games. We had an arena. That's where a lot of, you know, when we did have concerts and music and things like that to go to, it was usually at the arena.
And how were the shoulder seasons?
Muddy. And fall was, oh my gosh, fall is the best. That's when I get homesick.
Okay.
Is September, October. And as the leaves, I mean, there's nothing like it. Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, it's glorious. It's beautiful.
Leaf peeping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Admiring the foliage.
Yep. Yeah. You know, the pine trees, the birch trees, they were just, vibrant.
Here's something I learned when I looked up Berlin, New Hampshire. A large population of the, or a large percentage of the population speaks French, a particular dialect of French called New England French. Have you heard of that?
Oh, yeah.
What? I had no idea. This is brand new to me.
Yeah, okay. A lot of French Canadians. I mean, it was settled. I'm assuming settled by French Canadians. So, yeah. So almost everybody was, ancestors probably from Quebec somewhere.
Yeah.
So yeah, a lot of those French cultures and traditions are French Canadian, different, very different from France.
Yeah. And are you able to speak French? Did you learn it?
I took French 3 years in high school. Uh-huh. So no.
Okay.
I can fake it if I need to.
Right. What about but the people you grew up with or the people who live there now, is it something that's spoken every day or just it's kind of something you learn in school and then
I think for a lot of the kids my age, I don't think they spoke French necessarily, but mm-hmm. maybe their parents and grandparents did.
Mm-hmm.
Different dialect than France French.
Yeah.
A lot of us took French in high school. I think I don't even remember Spanish being offered.
Yeah.
But I don't know that anybody my age really spoke French that I remember.
Mm-hmm. Not as their first language.
Not as their first language anyway. Yeah.
Okay. Here's another interesting thing I just learned about New Hampshire, showing my ignorance here, that New Hampshire actually has a coastline,
mm-hmm.
that there's a stretch of the, looks like it's only about, 20 or 30 miles.
It's like this big.
Of Atlantic Ocean coast mm-hmm. on New Hampshire.
Yep.
Did you ever make it down?
Yep. Hampton Beach was our place that we'd go a lot. Mm-hmm. The one little near Portsmouth, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was a great beach, but we'd also go to the main beaches and because it was pretty small.
Yeah, it's New England. It's all
everything's small.
Yeah, let's see. Is New Hampshire what makes what? Why is New Hampshire and Vermont? Why is this is something I've been asking a lot as we talk about the states from New England? Why are these not the same state? Why are New Hampshire and Vermont separated? This is another one that I always puzzled over in geography class when we had to identify the states. I mixed up Vermont. It was a 50-50 shot for me, whether mm-hmm. I got that right or wrong. I mm-hmm. could never remember which one's Vermont and which one's New Hampshire.
Yeah, I know that there's the river, Connecticut River, right? That I don't know if it runs the whole boundary.
Yeah, I guess that's what looks like that kind of divides it diagonally, divides the two places.
Yeah, but
that's it, huh?
Just as far as the why, I have no idea. That's above my pay grade.
Okay.
Yeah, but the way I remembered it was New Hampshire had a coastline.
See,
Vermont did not.
That's
if
true.
I had but known.
If you had
my 8th grade geography number. Class would have gone much more smoothly, I think, if I had, yeah.
Did you ever see The Old Man of the Mountain?
Oh, yeah.
Before it fell apart?
Before it fell, yeah. That was a big thing, that thing falling. It was it was sad. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we saw it.
The reason why I'm asking, this is my philatelic background. I can remember as a little kid growing up in the 50s, there was a 3-cent postage stamp mm-hmm. of New Hampshire celebrating, I think it's centennial or sesquicentennial, and mm-hmm. it was of the profile of the Old Man of the Mountain.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and just a beautiful stamp. And then what? In the early aughts, 2002, 2003, it eroded and crumbled away.
It can't have been that long. I believe it was on the court. Remember when they did the 50 states quarters series, the U.S. Mint? I think the back of New Hampshire's was the old man of the mountain.
Old man of the mountain.
Mm-hmm. And that's a great, it's a naturally occurring. It wasn't it wasn't like Mount Rushmore. It was just a naturally occurring,
mm-hmm.
apparently human face.
Yep.
On the,
it was a profile.
It was wonderful. Clear, yeah. It was. Yeah. I mean, it sort of reminds me of a little side story. Is I used to live in Billings, Montana, and going to Yellowstone National Park, and one of the places I liked was Tower Falls, mm-hmm. and it had this huge boulder just sitting on the edge, and the waterfall would go over on both sides, and one winter, it came down. The boulder came down. You'd go there, and they had all of this signage and whatever uh-huh. like that. I wonder if they have done something with, the Old Man of the Mountain used to be here, and maybe do a 3D or something like that, what it looked like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, can't talk about New Hampshire without asking you, were you aware of national politics when you were when you were living in New Hampshire? The New Hampshire primary has always been a pretty big deal.
Yeah, I mean, then that's really all I knew was that Dixville Notch was the first place that voted. And that was just up the road from us. And we used to get a lot of candidates come to town. I remember I met the guy from MASH, not Trapper John, but the other guy.
Alan Alda?
Not no. Alan Alda. The guy that took Trapper John's place.
Who, as a presidential candidate? He was an actor endorsing someone?
Yeah, he was endorsing someone, but he was just walking by the Hallmark store, and I was walking the other way, and it's like, that's that guy. Uh-huh. And I stopped him and said, are you that guy? And I knew his name back then.
Uh-huh.
My dad was kind of a big wig in the paper company, so he kind of got to wine and dine a lot of the candidates that came to town.
Mm-hmm. Really? Yep. So you saw a presidential candidate. That's always been interesting to me, that part of the presidential cycle where you can, there are these, Iowa and New Hampshire, where you can meet just in small towns, you'll see people who may or may not go on to be major historical figures walking around town.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting back then,
Yeah.
For the little bit that I paid attention to it.
Is it a major part of, is it culturally important for New Hampshireites? Do they, is it something that you take pride in, or is it just a kind of accident of history? Somebody's got to be first. So
it's us. Think it was something that they took pride in, especially the, half a dozen people that lived up in Dixville Notch. I think it's a big deal for them, for sure.
You mentioned a key phrase that Jack and I like to plug into, wine and dine. Is New Hampshire known for anything unique in terms of eating? We had Rhode Island in here and mentioned cabinet, which is another word for a milkshake. And so is there any idiosyncratic or unique that if one visits New Hampshire, one has to wrap their lips around?
Meat pies?
Tell me more.
Well, I'll tell you what I know of meat pies, because it's a very much a French-Canadian tradition, I think, for Thanksgiving, maybe Christmas too, but the holidays. And it was just a pie made in a regular pie plate, but it was made of ground meat and spices and you know, for us, it was turkey and noodles, homemade noodles. That was the, every holiday we had that. But like my friends and my boyfriend, theirs was meat pie. Never really understand it. It wasn't my thing necessarily, but so that's something. That's French Canadian.
Okay. Anything to drink?
Let's see. Not that I can really remember.
You didn't call milkshakes cabinets, did you?
I think they might have called them fraps. And then they called pop soda. Coming from Michigan, I called it pop, but I think there they called it soda, and that was kind of weird to me. I can't really remember specifically. I mean, I'm sure there's something. I'm thinking of it right now.
If one were to visit New Hampshire, what would you encourage things to be seen?
Well, definitely going in the fall and looking at the leaves and driving the Kangamangas Highway, which is a pretty famous road that goes through kind of the central part of the state. Driving up Mount Washington, any of the lakes. I mean, I'm more familiar with the northern part of the state, so that's where I would recommend people go. Get out, hike one of the mountains, hike Mount Madison or Mount Jefferson or Mount Washington but that's probably the time of year I would suggest. Winter, summer's great, but there are black flies and mosquitoes.
I have heard about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, they're real and they're
nasty.
Nasty. Yeah, they are. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
Let's see. What haven't we mentioned? The nickname is the Granite State. I guess, is that, that's literally, it doesn't, it just means that It was famous for its granite formations. There's granite mines there.
There's granite everywhere. Yeah, I think that's the main rock.
The motto is live free or die. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. See that on, that's on the license plate, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. And is that something you take to heart?
I think so, as much as I can.
Yeah.
Do you get back at all to visit?
I've gone back for almost every class reunion.
Mm. Oh.
Yep. And yeah.
Is that an eye-opener, like... Did you discover that a lot of the of your classmates remained in the area, or are you spread out all over?
You know, I don't know what the percentage would be, but there's a lot that have that left right away and mm-hmm. never really went mm-hmm. back. But there's also a lot that stayed. You know, I've got a couple good friends that are still there, and some that just migrated south.
Sure,
where more jobs, more opportunity, that kind of thing.
And do you have your New Hampshire antenna out, like? You're here in Idaho and you're a distance from New Hampshire. If somebody says, oh, I'm from New Hampshire. I mean, whoa, you know, instant, you know, it's sort of like, as opposed to I'm from California. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Everybody is, you know, whereas New Hampshire. Hmm. Do you run across many here in North Idaho? New Hampshireans? I like that. New Hampshireans.
New Hampshireites, I think we decided.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I can't. Uh-huh. I don't know that I've ever. I've met people that have lived there, for sure. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. as far as claiming to be from there, and honestly, I'm not from there because I wasn't born there. Yeah. But I spent my formative years there. So that's kind of where, you know, the friends that I still keep in mm-hmm. touch with, mm-hmm. that's where they are. That's who they are. So, yeah.
The official denonym is neither New Hampshirean nor New Hampshireite. Granite Stater.
Of course.
Is, of course, that's what the state legislature prefers that you call someone from New Hampshire.
That's so unfair.
I should have known that. Oh, well.
Uh-huh.
Hi, I'm a Granite Stater.
Yeah.
Where's that person from? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Is there any tell, speaking of like kind of recognizing other people from New Hampshire, is there any kind of tell? Is there anything that you know, when you encounter a stranger out in the world, you kind of say, this person might be from New Hampshire because they act a certain way? Or
well, I would say there's an accent.
There is.
And, you know, it's similar to the Maine accent, mm-hmm. not quite as Bostonian, mm-hmm. but there's that French Canadian twang that they, and that was one of the things when I first moved there, being from the Midwest, I didn't think I had an accent, but they the kids thought that I had an accent and they would tease me about it.
Yeah.
Like, you're the ones that are talking funny. I just talk normal. So yeah, I think the accent I can kind of tell if somebody's from one of those states right up there.
Yeah. I have a hard time differentiating between Boston and the rest of New England. It all kind of,
Boston's much stronger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Much more, pronounced, I mm-hmm. think. I, you know, though, the coast of Maine, that's pretty mm-hmm. strong yeah. dialect, too.
Mm-hmm. Karen Glazer, a Granite Stater. I'm going to have to think about that, mm-hmm. you know, because that could be, if one didn't know states, one wouldn't. But we've been talking about New Hampshire. Is there anything that we haven't mentioned that you think is important for someone who is going to visit there? Or just something about having grown up in New Hampshire that's important to know?
We've covered a lot, but I just say it's a pretty rural state still, pretty quiet, pretty special in a lot of ways because of that. I think it hasn't changed and grown and become inundated with population. I mean, the southern part is very crowded because it's close to Boston. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I think the northern part is still a lot like it used to be, which is, you know, hard to find anymore.
And did you go up to Canada often?
We did. That was the place to get the good beer. So yeah, we'd go to Canada occasionally and concerts in Montreal. It wasn't that far, a couple hours.
I was going
to
ask mm-hmm. you, what's the closest big city from the northern border of New Hampshire? So Montreal?
Yeah, I don't know if that was the closest city, but...
That's where the music was.
That's where the concerts were, yeah.
You know, I'm looking at the map in our studio here and trying to move New Hampshire over to the panhandle of Idaho to get a sense of how wide it is across. you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it looks like.
At its narrowest, it's very quite narrow.
Mm-hmm. Quite petite.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's kind of where Berlin is up there, where it's pretty narrow.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Let's see. I bet we can figure this out. At its widest, it's 190 miles wide. I guess that'd be right down towards the base.
At the bottom of it, yeah. where it's
Or no, hidden. I'm sorry. The length of it is 190 miles, top to bottom. Okay. The widest is only 68 miles, so barely wider.
You mean at the bottom of the state, it's 68 miles?
Well, no. I don't know. That can't be that right. Can't be right. Maybe that's the average, is 68 miles. I'm not sure. Let's see.
I mean, on the other hand, I'm looking at northern New Hampshire, and it can't be that wide up there. Hmm. It doesn't look, but who knows?
Yeah, it looks pretty teeny compared to Idaho.
Yes, it does. Well, yeah. As you start moving westward.
That's true.
I think it's about, just looking at a map here, I think that at very widest, it's a little less than 90 miles.
Okay.
So still less than 100, and that's down at the bottom. And then narrowing all the way up until it's at the border.
Squished. Until it's got squished up on top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Karen, want to thank you so much for participating in Know Your States and Know Your Community. And thank you for representing the Granite State.
Well, thanks for having me. It's been
Absolutely.
Fun.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.